pray with me? God, because you live, we have hope, we have future, we have life. And God, regardless of what we're going through right now in our own lives, Lord, watching others go through in their lives, Lord, we know because you live that we can keep facing tomorrow, that we can keep facing and hoping. If only just remembering that hope is in you. Lord, that whatever it is, whether it be hardships, whether it be good things for happening in our lives, Lord, we give it to you. We give you praise and we give you honor and glory. And Lord, some of us are just crying out for help. Lord, help us today in our hearts to believe, to know, to cast away doubt that you are risen. Go ahead and have a seat, but if you're a kid between grades 1 and 4, you can go to Grace Kids. We have Grace Kids today, and you can run over there and be with them for your time of teaching. And I would just invite you to draw your attention up to this screen. We have a video that's going to play.
This morning we run, not to a tomb, but away from it, not to death, but to life. We run because we've seen the risen one. We run because we've witnessed your resurrection. We run because you are life, and your life is the light of all humankind, the light that shines the way to life. So we run toward the good news waiting around that corner, the astonishing miracle coming from that tomb, where emptiness means victory, and a dark space beats death, beats my death, which surely was around that corner, had you not died for me, had you not risen for me. There at the empty tomb, where Mary heard her name called, and I hear my name too, I raise my hands in praise. Thank you, Lord, for your great sacrifice. You have risen. Amen.
Amen. This whole message, this whole story of Easter is all about love. That this is love, the greatest expression of love that could ever be made. We started out Holy Week with Palm Sunday, where we celebrated Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem and hailed him as a king and put palm branches down on the stage to be able to honor him. And then on Good Friday, we came and we remembered his death on the cross, and we journeyed towards him being hung on the cross, being going through his trial and his betrayal and his denial. All of those things, and how there was just this sense of heaviness that we left with. And yet that heaviness had just a glimmer of hope, because we know that Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, is coming. And that's all part of the journey. And this year, we didn't do Maundy Thursday. That is a part of our tradition where we gather together and we just remember Jesus and his Last Supper with the disciples and how he washed the disciples' feet. And we do foot washing here at Grace Point Church, but we don't do it very often, and very few of us do. And it's not that you're any more holy if you do, or any less holy if you don't. But it's something that is a part of our tradition that we haven't done in the last couple of years, but we'll probably do it again next year. You might have some opportunity. But our youth leaders gathered together for a meal, and they had wonderful food, and then they did some foot washing with each other and had that time of remembrance, and so they participated in it. For me, I kind of missed it a little bit, and I remember on Thursday morning, I was driving to work, and I turned the corner just outside of our parking lot, And there was, it was garbage day the night before, and there was garbage kind of just all over the street. Somebody's garbage got out, and it was kind of like spread all over the place. And I'm like, oh, you know what? I hope somebody cleans that up. And then as I parked my truck in the parking lot, I realized, you know what? It's Maundy Thursday, and I'm not doing a foot washing service. I think maybe I should wash the community's feet a little bit and pick up this garbage. Now, hold on a second. Don't think that I'm this great servant heart, because I walked all the way over to the garage, picked up one of those like grabber things, because I don't want to touch somebody's garbage, and a garbage can and a bag, and I walked all the way over there. And by then I'm like, I got all my steps in already. I'm a little tired. My hands are cold. And so I start picking up this stuff, and I'm like, this is a lot of stuff. And I start grumbling and complaining, and I'm very frustrated at this point, because I'm like, why can't people just pick up their garbage? Why can't they put it properly in a bag? And I'm picking up toys, and I'm picking up all kinds of things. I'm like, man, people are so wasteful. And I'm starting to grumble. And then I hear this in the background. I'm like, what is that noise? Around the corner, friends, comes a street sweeper. I went there to wash somebody's feet. I got my feet washed. I mean, I got out of the way, not literally. But this street sweeper came by and picked up everything except for one thing on the road. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, that made my job a lot easier. And then he looped around. And the thing is, I looked at the guy's face, and I tried to say, hey, thank you. And I think he was more cranky than I was. Like, his face was, it looked like he hated his job. And I'm like, dude, I'm a motorcyclist. Like, you're saving my life. And it was just one of those moments where here I wanted to serve, and yet I had grumbling. And then I was just absolutely humbled. Because here's the thing, to wash somebody else's feet is humbling. To have your own feet washed is even more humbling. And so next year you'll get the opportunity to be able to do that. But it's just one of those ways of God showing up and just reminding me, you know what, I'll wash your feet. I'll serve you as you serve me. And it's just this beautiful exchange that God and I had. I know it's just a street sweeper, but it meant a lot to me. And it was just God reminding me of something. Because the thing is, there's gravel all over the place in this neighborhood. I don't know where the street sweeper came from, and I don't know where he went, but he cleaned up my stuff, but I don't know if he cleaned up other stuff, because there's still a lot of gravel everywhere. But it was a beautiful moment. One of the things that I said on Friday is that we can't have Resurrection Sunday without Good Friday. And now that we're on Resurrection Sunday, Good Friday wouldn't be good without Resurrection Sunday, would it? We need both. Jesus needed to actually die to be able to be raised from the dead. Otherwise, there's no resurrection. But the thing is, this whole story of Easter, everything that is in it is an actual expression, the greatest expression, the greatest act of love. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 13, he said, greater love has no one than this, but to lay down one's life for his friends. These are words of Jesus talking about how he was going to lay down his life for them, for his friends. Who were Jesus' friends? His creation. Everyone he created is his friends. He laid down his life for each and every person that has ever existed, that exists now, and that will exist in the future. All because of love, he gave up his life. Friends, this is love. And today we celebrate that he is risen. Ah, three people got it. He is risen. All right. Awesome. Thanks for participating. I think I even heard a hallelujah today. That's awesome. But you see, all of this story, Jesus, right from Christmas with Jesus' birth and his ministry, and then the betrayal, the abandonment, the journey to the cross, the suffering, the death, put into the tomb, breaking out of the tomb, the appearances that he made to the disciples and to other people. His life as the resurrected Lord is all an act of love. Now, it's just such an amazing story, and I love it. And it was already read for us today, and so I kind of contemplated as to whether I would read it again. But I love the image of the angel rolling away the stone and then sitting on it. Isn't that fun? Like, can you imagine the expression on his face? Like, yeah, I did that. Out of all the angels, I got to roll the stone. Like, I'm a big deal. And I'm sitting on the stone now, and I get to tell them, he's not here. He's not here. He's risen. Wouldn't that be a fun job to be that angel? That's just great. I love that. Anyway, so let's just read John chapter 20. I'm not going to have the verses up there, but just 16 verses. You can follow along if you brought your Bible, or if you brought your phone, you can look at it there, or you could just listen, and that's okay too. John chapter 20, beginning at verse 1, it says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first went inside. He saw and believed, but they still didn't understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. But Mary stood outside the tomb. She was crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the foot. They asked her, woman, why are you crying? They've taken away my Lord, she said. And I don't know where they've put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him. And Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward him and cried in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. So we have different accounts of this story, don't we? We have accounts where the angel comes and he's sitting on the tomb, and we have all these different things. And that's the thing about testimony, is that there's different details brought out in each of the Gospels, which is a beautiful way to bring them together and to read through them and to understand it, just to imagine it. It takes us from different perspectives and different angles of the story to make the whole story. But the message is clear. That this is love, to lay down his life, to go through the suffering, to receive the sting of death, to be abandoned by others and by his Father, to endure death, but then to overcome death because of his love. And the thing is, in our lives as humans, we run away from death, don't we? Not out of fear, but because we know as Christians that we don't run from death because we fear it. We run from death because we don't need to think about death, because we have the gift of eternal life. And so it's not running away from death necessarily, but it's running towards life, towards God. But you see, in order for all of this to count, to see the fullness of his love for us, we need to embrace certain truths about this story, certain truths about how we understand, how we believe, and how we read the story of Jesus. The first one that we have to embrace is Jesus who he said he was? Is Jesus indeed who he said he was? Is he the Son of God, God himself with flesh, one who comes with all authority, one who set his authority aside, one who laid down his life? In the John passage, he calls himself our friend. He calls us his friend. But yet Jesus claims to be God, the Son of God, the I Am, which is how God refers to himself throughout the Scriptures. So not just a man, not just special, not just a teacher, not just a good thought, not just a good friend, not just a security blanket of positivity in the bleak world, but God with skin on, God in human form. In order for God's love and resurrection to count, we need to see Jesus as God, to embrace that he is who he said he was. The second truth is that We need to contemplate, did Jesus do what he said he would and what the Bible said he would do? That God created this world. And as he looked at the world and he looked at his creation, he said, yes, good. He looked at humans, he said, yes, very good. But then there was this fallenness in the garden, and there was the origin of sin within human lives. And since that time, it's just been this struggle, and it's been hard, and it went from good to, yeah, sort of good. The potential of good, right? And that we have this brokenness within our world, this brokenness within our lives. And the only way out of this, the way to close the gap between God and us, because that's what essentially happened, was that we went from God, walking with God in the garden, to God being separated from us in a sense because of our sin and our brokenness. But God needed to do something. God wanted to do something. God told us He would do something. So Jesus had to be who He said He was in order for it to count. You know, sometimes when we go to a restaurant or we go to a store and our experience is just not good, or we just didn't get what we paid for, right? And when that sort of happens, we want to be gracious. We don't want to just like fly off the handle and be cranky and all that kind of stuff. But at some point we want to say, hey, can I speak to the manager? Can I speak to somebody who's in charge? Because I don't feel like you and I are getting on the same page here. And maybe the manager, maybe the owner can help me get on the same page. And there's some things, sometimes we're in situations where we just have to ask, okay, who's in charge of this? And how do I get to talk to that person to be able to address the needs that I have? And Jesus had to do what He said He would in order for it to count. And Jesus was the only one who could do it. See, God had to do what we couldn't do. God had to do what no one could do. He created us. He gave us free will. And we mess it up. And the only way to make it right is by God acting toward us to do what Jesus did. And so we have to believe that Jesus, who was who He said He was, which was God in flesh, we have to believe that Jesus was put to death, that He died on the cross, that He was put into the tomb, that He was buried in the tomb, as hard as all of that is. But then to address the question, did He raise from the dead? And that one's a little hard to get over. But if all the other stuff happened, it's not out of the realm of possibility. But it certainly doesn't follow the laws of scientific process, does it? No. But in order for God's love and resurrection to count, we need to see Jesus as God and that He did what He said He would do. And so here we have that final truth that we need to embrace is, does Jesus live? Did He actually raise from the dead? Is all of this true? Because if He didn't raise from the dead, then Good Friday isn't good. And none of it makes sense. But in order for it to make sense, we need to be able to believe, to have faith that He did raise from the dead. That the resurrection needed to happen. That the resurrection is the climax of the story. That Jesus broke down the walls between us and God. That He tore the temple curtain from top to bottom, giving us access to God, and now God calls us His friends, and that Jesus brought us to God. And you see, the whole story is probably not the way we would have written it, is it? We would have put a much cleaner story out there. It probably would have been more appropriate in Sunday school, a little more G-rated, if you know what I mean. Less violence, less blood, less death, probably, right? We would sugarcoat it. We would just water this thing right down, wouldn't we? But it's a messy story. And this all-powerful God submitting to His own creation. Like, what? That doesn't seem like something God would do. And then dying by their hands and for them. And then raising from the dead. And we either see it as that clean story or we see it as the messy story. But however we really want to picture it in our minds, we need to believe the story. And we need to understand that it was a sacrifice, that there was probably some violence to it, and it's maybe even too real to face. But either way, it is a story, an expression, the greatest expression of love. And the thing is, our world right now, it feels like a bit of a mess, doesn't it? Like, I'm a little fearful to open my news app, I'll be honest, because I don't know what's going on or what I'm going to read. And I don't know how much I can trust or not trust. And it's really hard to determine what is really going on in our world. And as somebody who studies theology, as somebody who wants to try to picture and bring God's action, reaction, purpose in this world. It's hard for me to do that right now because I can't keep up to what's going on sometimes. And there are wars that are happening throughout the world. Wars that don't even make it to the top of my newsfeed anymore. Because there's weirder things going on. And there's tensions that we have with allies. And there's things that there's economic turmoil that's happening in the world. And I had to stop looking at my retirement plan and just wait, just pause. Just okay, I'm in it for the long haul. Let's just keep going for the long haul. Last year was much better. And things are weird and they might get weirder. And the thing is, it's very strange because apparently colonialism is back. Not sure where that came from or how that became cool to some. And suddenly all of us became hockey players where we say elbows up, even though we didn't know what that meant 2 months ago. But, you know, we'd all kind of remember that name, Gordie Howe. Especially if, you know, if we've been in the world more than 40 years. So now Canada, this overlooked and underestimated country, is united and ready to push back, elbows up. But we just have hockey sticks. So we'll see how far that goes. But and this month, we're facing an election. Like, we're going to select a new leader. And there's advanced polling right now, and people are showing up in record numbers already for advanced polling. And on April 28th, we'll have a new leader selected, and I encourage you to vote. And I imagine that there is a lot of opinions as to who you're going to vote for. And the thing is, when we vote, voting, we think, gives us the right to complain, either who we voted for or who we didn't vote for. But to complain and to blame those who are in power. But here's the thing. We need to pray. And that's the thing. Like, I find that I am finding myself praying more and more. As the world gets worse, I pray more. And not because I'm this intercessor prayer guy, but because I'm not sure what else to do at times. But to pray. Pray that who, regardless of who is in power, either in our country or another country, pray for wisdom. Pray for integrity. Pray for character. Pray for strength. And pray for God's love, God's resurrection power love, to reckon with the powers that are around us. Because, friends, God's love reckons with power because God is still on the throne and God is still the mighty, powerful God who created us, who watches over us, who died for us, who has forgiven us, who redeems us, and one day will come back. But he is still on the throne. So why do I mention all of this? I mention all of this because if we really believe that Christ is risen, everything's going to be okay. Everything is going to be okay. And I'm saying that with emotion right now because I'm feeling that. And goosebumps because I know that. And the worse our world gets, the more I believe it. Tim Keller, a Presbyterian pastor from New York, as he faced a cancer diagnosis that would eventually take his life nearly 2 years ago, was talking about his diagnosis and what was happening in the world at that time. And he said, during the Easter season, if we believe that Christ is risen, as he faced this cancer diagnosis, as he faced that he was terminally ill, and he said, I'm weeping because I'm leaving this life. I'm weeping because of what is happening in the world. I'm weeping because it is so hard. But because of a resurrected Jesus, it's going to be okay. And he said, as I say that, I wipe my tears, but the tears still flow. It's still hard. There's still pain. There's still all of these things happening to me around me. But everything's going to be okay because Jesus has risen from the dead. Yeah, you got it. Jesus has risen from the dead. He's risen. He's risen indeed. Thank you. You see, in order for God's love and resurrection to count, we need to see Jesus as God. That he did what he said he would do. And that he has risen. Friends, this is love. It's given to us. We're invited to receive it, to be forgiven, and to have eternal hope and life. Will you pray with me? God, we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he entered this world, that he humbled himself to become one of us, that he fully took on the humanness that we experience, that he endured humiliation, persecution, that he endured the pain and the wounds, that he went to the cross as a lamb, that he allowed all of this to happen to him, that he felt so alone and abandoned, so much in pain, and then he gave up his life. God, that he was put into the tomb and the stone rolled, that for 2 days there was nothing. But then there was the resurrection. There was the life brought back to his body. Lord, that you would not allow death to take him. That was not the end of the story, but the end of the story is the resurrection to life. Lord, he went to death as a lamb, but he rose as a roaring lion. And he is on your throne. And he's still saying, I love you. You're my friend. I did this for you. I love you.